In this episode of Bear Podcast,
it's our Father's Day special with Andrew.
Aquaman in Batman vs. Superman movie.
Obama extending protection to LGBT employees.
And real bears having oral sex.
All these and more coming up next. Bear Podcast 523.
Hey, all you bears!
He's texting to bump into Big Hairy Man.
So scientists may have finally solved the puzzle of what makes a person gay.
Well, I'm not taking you to get some scrub there fixing for you.
Can I do the podcast in my underwear?
Gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
It's one of those things that is funny, cute, white. That's
two glasses of wine.
He's a lightweight, so it don't take much.
You're listening to BearPodcast.com.
Okay, fine. You really have to.
Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. I am Nar.
And I am Ray.
And welcome to episode 523, and it's a Tuesday, June 17th, 2014. And happy Father's Day! Well, belated. Happy
Father's Day. Yes.
Yes. And yeah, happy Father's Day to all you fathers or those who chose to become a father. And to all daddies who have a daddy and son relationship, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. And if you became a father, even though you didn't choose to, make sure you pay that child support.
Yes, that's right. You should. It's your duty. Okay, so, yeah. Ray,
you
what
did crime, you got to do the time.
So, Ray, let's do some weekend updates. What have we been up to? I mean,
well, you're the one that had the busy weekend with the pedicures.
Oh, that's right. So, Saturday, before we did anything, Mike and I had pedicures. Is that gay? Look at my toes are awesome.
Well, you know, Johnny, who's been on the show before.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He posted a picture of his toenails this morning. Did you see it?
No.
Is it painted? He put Captain America shield on his
toenails. Oh, God. Really?
Yes. So you don't have like diamonds?
No, it's just really pink glossy. That's what I did.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy.
Well, I posted a pic last week because when Robbie was a kid, speaking of dads, Robbie had this poster of Farrah Fawcett. And, you know, like most kids our age back then, we were all in love with Farrah Fawcett because
mm-hmm.
she was the bomb, apparently, and we thought she was before we were gay or knew what gay was. But anyway, his dad used to tease him about Farrah Fawcett having these long toenails and they click across the floor.
Uh-huh.
When she ran, he said, "Oh, you can hear it clicking." And Robbie used to get up so wet, he'd run to his room and start crying. So anyway, if any of y'all on my Facebook feed, you can see the pic that I posted last week with the chick that had the nails that came out.
Oh,
that like
one.
That.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, "Oh, look, Robbie's Farrah Fawcett." And copied his dad in. So.
I've always thought that's like, you know, Freddy Krueger in drag.
Probably, yeah.
And put his... It was a bit much,
mm-hmm. Yeah, she'd had a pedicure or something because then things...
I know. So, yeah, we pedicures last Saturday, and we had to do that. We did something gay before that, and then before ever doing anything, then we did something butch. We watched soccer. We watched England versus Italy.
Yeah.
So
I think that soccer should be played in the nude.
In the nude? Why?
Well, did you not see the video on Facebook where the guys... gets his pants get pulled down, he's running down the field and everything, and then they finally fall off and he hits the ball with his dick and knocks it in for the goal.
Oh, really?
And then everybody else on the other team pulls their pants down and starts running down the field.
I gotta see that. I haven't seen that yet.
It's a pretty cute video.
Yeah. So,
and some of the soccer players that are playing in the World Cup are kinda hot.
Oh, yeah. Saying. Well, goes without saying. Especially from I guess from England to in Italy also.
Oh, there's a bunch of them. They're from all over. It's just a smorgasbord of hotness.
So we watched that. We even bar hopped. We went to two bars just to watch two separate games. I forgot the other one. But yeah, we watched two games, and then we just went home. We're really tired. Mike was really drunk, so we got it.
Yeah.
Not drunk, but he was tipsy. And I couldn't drink too much because I was the driver. So yeah, so we just went home and relaxed and everything. And then Sunday, we just watched some softball. Congratulations to Divers, D-Knights, and Sons of Pitches. They're going to Dallas because the Gay Softball World Series will be in Dallas this year. Yeah, this year.
So the year you don't go is the year it's close to home.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Amazing how that happens now.
And all right.
And they're in the D-Cup Series, right?
Yeah, the D Cup Series.
Yeah.
The D Division Series.
Okay.
So anyway, so congratulations, guys. I wish I could go, but I'm not. And also, I got to watch the latest and greatest Dean DeBlois movie. How to Train Your Dragon, part two.
So is it awesome? Is it awesome? I mean, the reviews on it have been incredible.
It was really good. I really loved it. Okay, I do have an observation. Did you ever watch Lilo and Stitch?
I think I've seen bits and pieces of it. I don't think I've watched the whole thing.
Let's just say there is a feeling of a Lilo and Stitch moment there. It's in my opinion. Towards the end, I'm just saying that. It felt like that.
Yeah. Now, don't listen any further because I'm about to release a spoiler if you hadn't read it all over the internet.
Okay.
How's the gay coming out scene?
Oh my God, the gay part is just a hint in a fraction of a second. Well, one less than a second. Well, 1 second when he just said that very short phrase. That's the reason why I didn't get married because they're this and that, and the other thing. That's it. I mean, there is no hint of gayness in the whole thing at all.
But Disney is, you know, pushing gay agenda.
Yeah.
Yet again.
Damn
gays.
Just because he mentioned that very, very vague sentence there, and only adults could probably get it. Yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, why would, what is it, the 1 million moms, something like that, protesting?
Oh, everybody's got to protest on
it. Yeah, everybody's going to protest it. But that's good. I mean, not the protest part, but if they keep saying it, it will be like a Streisand effect.
I guess so.
You know, they're going to talk about it more. People will watch it even more and look for those words.
So, like I said, all the reviews said go see it in full 3D.
Yes. Please watch it in full 3D because it's incredible in 3D. Okay. Yes, it is.
So.
I didn't regret watching it.
Thank you, Dean, for yet another great movie.
Thank you, Dean. Okay.
Okay.
So how about you?
My weekend. Okay. Oh, my God. Nothing compared to yours. No pedicures. No nothing. Worked in the yard. Cleaned up around the house. Got up Sunday. Father's Day. Cleaned the house because the in-laws are coming over. Had Daddy-O over. And as always, it's a treat to have him around and hear all the stories and stuff that went on back in the day. And, you know, it's Friday? Was Friday Flag Day? What day was Flag Day? Friday or Saturday? I can't remember.
Oh, I don't know. Only Sheldon Cooper can tell you when Flag Day is, but I don't know.
I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head. But anyway, you know, we got talking to Daddy-O about his time in the military because, you know, he was in World War II and was on a ship in the Pacific and, you know, hearing those stories, you know, and it's not many people that can tell those stories anymore. So,
yeah.
So it's actually pretty good to hear some of them. So,
I would have said that back in the day.
Yeah.
When I was.
Well, you know, it's always cool when they come out. Well, we listen to it anyhow, but, you know, we get out the Dean Martin music and
I would
playing the channel, you know, and everybody's having martinis and, you know, it's a good old 50s, early 60s lifestyle era going on at the house. So, I did, you know, I said I wasn't going to pay to watch Ender's Game.
You didn't pay for
it. And I didn't pay for it because it was free HBO weekend and it was on Cinemax. So I recorded it. So it was free.
Okay. So he didn't pay for it.
So I didn't pay for it. But it was a good movie. I liked it.
You liked it? Okay. Like the concept. Is it supposed to be a trilogy book?
I don't know.
I think it was.
Orson Scott Card, so I didn't, you know, I don't, since he's a gay hater. I did get one feeling, though. There's three siblings in the book. There's the older brother, the middle sister, and then Ender, who is the third child, who apparently they had to offer a permit to have. And I got a feeling the older brother was gay.
Oh, really?
They said he had anger management issues.
Ah.
And I wonder if he's angry because he was gay and the guy that wrote the book.
What are you saying that gays are always angry?
We can be.
We can be.
So, but no, I'm just saying, you know, it was just like they kind of brushed over the whole reason he got pushed aside and didn't get the position that Ender got is because he had anger management issues. The sister was too compassionate.
Ah.
You know, it was like three bears, too hot, too cold, just right.
Just right.
So I thought it was kind of funny, but, you know, I thought it was a good movie. I liked it. So Harrison Ford, you know, he wasn't hobbling like he is now. So
yeah. Okay. I should admit that I did watch it also, but I did not pay for it either. Let's just say that's as far as I could say about it.
Yeah.
So I do know about Ender's Game. Okay. So, before we go to our other topics, we actually have an interview. We have an interview with our friend Andrew, because this is a Father's Day special. So every year we try our best to have a father in the show and talk about experiences. And we have Andrew right now so you could hear about his experience about getting married, proposing, getting married, and having celebration, and having a kid, Adrian, which is awesome. So here is our interview with Andrew. Joining us today is Andrew, and he's our featured father for Father's Day. Welcome to the show again, Andrew.
Hey, Andrew.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Maynard and Ray. It's a pleasure to join you guys once again, and looking forward to our conversation here.
Yes. Actually, to everyone out there, we had Andrew, how many years ago? Probably 5 years ago? 4 or 5 years ago? How old is Adrian?
Six.
Adrian just turned six.
He turned six. So it's about 6 years ago, a little over 6 years ago, when we had you and Gary on the show for being our featured fathers also for Father's Day. And we're talking about, you guys having a child for your own, right?
Correct. That is correct.
I remember that time. Oh, yeah. So anyway, so the big topic right now for us is you and Gary getting married in Massachusetts. So tell us about it.
Well, after initially about the fifth year that we had turned our anniversary, my thought process was to eventually get married. I just finally realized that Gary was my lifetime partner. And initially we had made a somewhat of a decision that we wouldn't get married until Texas would approve same-sex marriage, but
that would take a long time.
Unfortunately, right, that was going to take longer than we anticipated. But it looks like at the present time now things might be moving a little faster. But I made a decision that as soon as we would turn our 10-year anniversary, that I will be, the proper timing for me personally. And that's when I decided that I would pop the question to Gary, which was a year earlier. So on our 9th year anniversary, that's when I asked him to marry me. And
wow,
for me, he said yes.
So you're the one who popped the question. I see. That was my question. Oh.
Wow. And we always thought Gary was the romantic.
Andrew is the romantic. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
So how did you feel when you proposed back then? Were you very nervous or what?
I someone had an idea what the proposal was going to be like. It was actually on a Monday, and it happened to be when the Boston Red Sox were in town playing the Astros, and we had gone to all three of the series. And that was, I believe it was Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, if I'm not mistaken. So on Monday, I decided to not go into work because of the game, obviously, and that's when I decided I was going to pop the question to Gary. And initially was going to do it right before the actual game, on the way to the game.
Uh-huh.
I hadn't really picked up the spot for it, but I figured I was going to do it around that time. Well, we got out for breakfast and then lunch as well, and then things just kind of weren't right at that point in time. So I decided to kind of wait it out until before the game. Well, one thing led to another, and then we're having a good time with the game. So my time was running out, and as soon as we left the game, towards the end of the last inning, I think it was the bottom of the eighth inning already. And I, on the way home, I was hey, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? And then finally I realized, I think, the proper place would be is to do it at home. So when we got home, right before, when we walked into the house, I just, slowed down a little bit and just, got down on my knees. And that's when I decided to propose to Gary.
Aww. And he gladly accepted.
Was Adrian with you?
No, he was with the moms.
Oh, okay. He was with the moms. Okay. Yeah.
And I guess we need to clarify for everybody that doesn't know your and Gary's story. 5-6 years ago, or I guess 7 now,
yeah,
almost, y'all went and found a lesbian couple that wanted to have a child, and y'all became a family.
That's correct.
That's the short version of the story.
That's the short version.
Right. That's the short, you know, condensed version. That is correct, Ray.
But it is. But in my, on the outside looking in, it looks like a great mix of the two. Of the household. So
I really think it's the best thing that gay couples could do. One of the best things that gay couples could do. You know.
Well, sometimes I think also meeting certain people that you just hit it off and everything happens for a reason. So.
Yep.
Right. Right.
That's right.
Yeah, having, you know, a good, you know, chemistry with, you know, the other potential parents, you know, is a very important thing to have. You know, it just makes things a lot easier for the child that's involved in both households. And
yep.
I mean, for us, it's worked out, you know, perfectly. You know, was it, you know, perfect to from the get-go? No. I mean, we had to, you know, make some adjustments, but you know, it all turned out for the best.
Okay. Yeah.
So let's go fast forward to Massachusetts. In Boston, you guys got married really in Boston, right?
Correct. And the reason we selected Boston is because that's where Gary is originally from. So he has some, you know, some roots and some ties to Massachusetts. So that's where we decided to get married.
Yeah. Was it hard to arrange something from a different state? Or you had people helping you out there?
Well, we actually had, you know, asked around. We made some calls to the local city hall, and they told us, you know, the steps, and they gave us some information on what, as far as websites to visit, to obtain all the required, you know, necessary documents and steps. The whole process wasn't, you know, that difficult as far as applying for the license.
Yep.
The actual wedding setups and stuff like that. We actually went, I think, two times to, you know, get everything organized, making sure that we found the proper venue, find the person that was going to marry us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we also got help from, you know, back home. Some of our friends will give us some referrals. Our actual local church, a pastor, referred us to the pastor back in Massachusetts that would, you know, be more than happy to perform the ceremony for us. So we were very fortunate about that. And Gary's got some, you know, good friends back home that would, you know, that were also able to help, to lend a helping hand. So the whole process was, you know, it wasn't very, you know, difficult, but it was a learning experience. You know, I think it was worth it at the end, because it's something that, you know, we kind of put together to, you know, our likings, and, you know, we couldn't have, you know, done a better job if, you know, we would have gone with someone else.
So when you were doing the oath, you're going to have to do is that an oath or?
Vow.
Sorry, not oath, but vow.
You would think you'd never been through the process.
I know. When you were doing the vows, did you write your own vows? I guess you did, right?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what we decided on. You know, it's going to be something from the heart. I think, and for the most part, you know, Gary had to, you know, keep it to a minute or two. I think he ended up going for like 5 minutes. I'm like, okay.
Such a manager. And,
you know, trying to, you know, after he said his vows, of course, you know, it's a very happy and at the same time emotional moment. You know, he tried to keep your composure, but, you know, I feel that if you speak from the heart, you know, it's pretty much, you know, the best vows that, you know, anybody can come up with.
Yeah. So how about Adrian? How did he react when he was watching you two getting married?
Oh, he was very excited. You know, we always kept him in the loop, you know, what was going on with his parents. Because initially his mom's got married, I believe 3 years ago, also in the Boston, I mean, the Massachusetts area, actually in P-Town.
Oh, and, okay.
So he was, you know, he was somewhat aware of that. He was a little younger, of course, but in this case, you know, we kept him informed, and he was very excited, and he was actually our ring bearer.
Oh, that's so cute.
And, he, you know, he did an excellent job. You know, we actually practiced with him here at home, and, you know, told him what to expect and what to do, and, you know, he was a great listener, and I mean, he did an outstanding job, and everybody was pleased with on his performance.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
Well, the video looked great. We saw it, the celebration you guys did here in Houston. So,
Let's talk about the Houston celebration. So, you got married in Boston, and then you did a celebration, one of the celebrations here in Houston.
Right. The reception was back home, and we initially were thinking about kind of delaying it, you know, maybe a month or so, but we figured, you know what, I think it's best if we kind of like do it, you know, back to back, you know, as far as the following weekend, just because everything was fresh and in everyone's mind. So just kind of get rid of it, you know, the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out perfectly because, you know, we were, you know, making arrangements in the wedding plans in Boston, and at the same time making wedding the reception plans back home. And, you know, we started off not wanting to do, you know, like a big thing, but, you know, the more you think about it, you know, you started, you know, thinking about this, well, we would like to do this, and, well, we're going to do this, let's do this. So it's just a one time, you know, that people get married for the most part. So we decided that it's going to be not a big event, but something that's going to be, you know, memorable to us, most important, and of course to our friends.
Of course, it was very memorable for us too. And we really liked the dance. They did the dance.
Yes.
Wait a second, whose idea was it? Was it you or was it Gary?
I think it was most of the ideas, I mean, were kind of like, I would have to say, I guess me, because Gary was, you know, initially did not want to do a dance.
He didn't want to do a dance.
Well, come on, you know, we got to do something that's going to be, you know, like it's going to reflect of us, you know, uh-huh, to some degree, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, we first started kind of like trying to do our own dance, you know, our practice, our own style and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm not a per se great dancer, and Gary is neither. So, you know, we finally realized that to minimize the stress level, you know, we looked out or seeked out some, you know, some assistance with, you know, a local dance lesson.
They went dance lessons. Played.
And we actually took dance lessons, and, you know, that made a great, you know, impact as far as our dance. And the place that we went to is, you know, they're a very, very nice dance studio. The people that run the dance studio, they're a gay couple also. And I had no idea. I just happened to find it on Yelp.
Oh, okay.
And we went and checked it out, and they were very, you know, very nice. And
did they teach tango?
Absolutely. They teach, you know, all kinds of dance styles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
I might have to get their information from you.
Oh my God. You know what's going to happen. That will be for another show. Okay. So, okay.
So my question, Andrew, who is more of a bridezilla, you or Gary?
What a good question. Love the
who
question.
More of a bridezilla?
Who's the bridezilla?
You know, I guess it would have to be, I would have to say probably me. Cause,
really?
I mean, Gary, for the most part, he's the type of person that, you know, it's going to be, if you go shopping, it's an in and out type of thing. I'm more like, you know, I want to be like 3 hours shopping around, make sure, you know, I got the, you know, the good fit or the good price and stuff like that.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
It'll probably be me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was accused the same way too. I mean, my other friends were telling me I was the bridezilla when I got married. So,
well, that's all right. I already know I'm the bridezilla, so I ain't got to worry about it. So.
I could tell Ray's turn. It's gonna be He's gonna be the bridezilla too.
Well, like Adrian picked up some dance move from y'all too, because all during the party he was cutting a rug up there on the stage.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it was really fun. Okay, so yeah, before we go, do you have any advice? Any advice that you can give to other gay couples out there who are watching or listening to the show who want to have kids?
Well, the only thing I can tell you is that, you know, having a child is a great, you know, life-changing experience. In my opinion, it's for the best. You know, it really makes a household, you know, that much happier when you have a child after in your home, you know, even if you have a tough day at home, you know, as soon as you see their, you know, little smiles, it just, you know, brightens up your day. In addition to, you know, if you're going to decide to be a parent, you know, just decide on what's going to work, you know, best for that specific or individual couples. In our case, you know, we felt that, you know, having, you know, a mom and dad around the child's life was an important thing for us, because we were thinking about, you know, adopting or, you know, doing artificial insemination, but then that would mean that there's no mom involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up, you know, in a household where, you know, your mom and dad were, you know, around, and you pretty much learn, you know, from them as well. So, and the same thing for Gary, and that's just the household that we wanted to, you know, move forward with, or the type of, you know, family to move forward with. So, you know, that's the most important thing, is whatever makes, you know, that household work, you know, whatever decision is they decide to go with, you know, just go with it, the gut feeling. Our choice, you know, may not work for everybody, because now you're talking about four parents in the household, so you have four individual, you know, mindsets or ideals. Mm-hmm. But, you know, constant communication, you know, at the same time, you know, we give each other space.
Yep.
That's also an important factor.
Works well with vacations,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's well, awesome. You know, the other thing, too, that, you know, that I noticed from being a kid, you always play the parents against each other. And now that you got four parents involved, you got to be on the same page, or somebody's going to end up.
Yes. And kids, you know, they pick up on that real quick. And, you know, we can already sense Adrian already, they pick up on, you know, what presses, you know, each parent's buttons, and he'll do it, you know, and, whether he's doing it, you know, purposely or not, you know, sometimes he just does it just to get your attention.
Mm-hmm.
And in other cases, you know, he might be, you know, tired or cranky, and he'll just want to get his way, and just trying to get back at the parent. He'll, like, you know, act up or press, you know, each parent's buttons. But they learn real quick, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
And I think on our 1,000th show, Andrew, we're going to have you and Gary back on here, because Adrian should be 16 by then, and we'll see how y'all feel about this decision.
I know that's the other phase that we have to, you know, face eventually. So
teenagers,
ourselves, but you can never be 100%, you know, prepared for what's going to happen in the future. You just got to hope for the best, and, you know, lay some, you know, sound ground rules for your child, and, you know, just hope that they learn from that and become, you know, a good person as when they grow up.
Yes.
True. Mm-hmm. Well, I have one final question for you, and it's a big one.
Okay.
Why is it that Gary's in Hawaii and you're not?
I know, I asked myself. It's the second time that he's gone to Hawaii and I have not been able to go.
Oh, no.
Primarily because he's in Hawaii because of work reasons.
Oh, okay.
Other than that, you know, he wouldn't be over there. And for me, I already pretty much use up all of my, most of my vacation time, so I don't have as much time as Gary gets at his work, so. That's the only reason. And I've already, you know, told Gary, it's like, why is it you've gone to Hawaii twice and I've
Good question, Gary. You're watching this, Gary.
That's right, Gary.
That's a good question. Okay.
And why can't you call your friends and say, hey, I got a free room, you know?
I know, right?
Okay, so yeah, well, thank you very much, Andrew, for joining us in the show. It's awesome to have you on board again.
Well, thank you so much. It was my pleasure. As always, you know, I'm happy to you know, join you guys, and looking forward to our next meeting.
Okay. All right. Yes, and happy Father's Day to you and Gary.
Well, thank you so much. Right. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there.
Thank you, Andrew, for being in the show. It's awesome to have you again because, like I said earlier, we had him in the show about about 7 years ago.
When
they decided to have a kid.
Yeah.
They have a child of their own. So.
I don't think the egg had hatched by then.
Yep. Yeah, it, no, not yet. Maybe. I think they announced it during Thanksgiving when it was three months on the way.
Yeah.
When they're really, really sure.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, okay. So, thank you again, Andrew. And thank you, Gary, for lending us Andrew for the evening, you know, for the interview.
Yeah.
And hope you enjoy your stay in
Hawaii without us.
Without
us. You couldn't even call us and say, hey, guys, I'm going to be in Hawaii for a week working. I got a room with two double beds in it. Come on out with me. No. Uh-huh. Did he even do that? No. So, okay. So, anyway, on to entertainment.
Entertainment.
All right. This busted out, I guess, yesterday more than it did today, but there's still stuff going on. Games of Thrones hunk cast as Aquaman, allegedly.
Uh-huh.
Now, rumors that Jason Momoa will be diving into the role of Aquaman in the Batman vs. Superman feature film have begun swimming through the internet. Now, I got this out of The Advocate. This is what I pulled this article off of. I was reading an article yesterday from The Hollywood Reporter, and usually if it's in The Hollywood Reporter, it's a done deal.
Are you saying my source was not accurate?
I don't remember seeing your source.
Okay, all right. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, though Warner Brothers has yet to confirm the announcement, it has been widely reported that Momoa is scheduled to debut as the King of Atlantis in the 2016 release of Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice feature film starring Ben Affleck as Batman and Henry Cavill as Superman. And if y'all don't know who Jason Momoa is, he was Carl Dargo on Game of Thrones.
So, he was the husband. Of the Khaleesi.
Of Khaleesi, yeah. He was the Khaleesi.
He was the Khaleesi.
Yes.
And then, since he died. Right,
yes.
And then Khaleesi.
But the sex scenes were incredible. He's just hot.
Oh, yeah. So I remember that. I would think it was all hot, right. Too.
Now, I'm picking this up from another article because there's a bunch of them out there, and I kind of like the way that first one read. But this one was talking about him playing Aquaman. So, and I'm just picking this up in the middle of the article. So it says, but Warner Brothers doesn't do carefully establishes. This comes the word that Jason Momoa will reportedly play Aquaman in Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice, a movie which also features Wonder Woman and Cyborg and Lex Luthor, and maybe Lois Lane and probably not Metamorpho. The casting seems purposely designed to appease the Aquaman is lame contingent.
He is lame.
Well, I don't think so. Momoa is best known for playing the barbarian badass Khal Drogo, Game of Thrones. He also played Conan the Barbarian, which was good seeing him half naked, but it was a bad movie.
okay.
His lead role is the Mountain of Smyrna, Biggest Criminal, and The Red Road, which I haven't seen, which I think he directs on too.
All right.
He's also 9 feet tall. One thing you can say for the Snyderverse, because was it Snyder's directing the movie?
Wait. He's 9 feet?
He's tall.
He's really that tall?
He's not 9 feet tall, but he looks that way on
okay.
TV because he's a big guy. Because remember, he was on Stargate Atlantis.
That's mm-hmm. tall because, you know, Scrum Bear is 6'4", and he's really tall for me.
Yeah,
and you're telling this guy is 9?
He's not 9 feet
tall. He's not 9.
The guy's just saying this because he's a big guy.
Okay.
Henry Cavill and Momoa are giants. Ben Affleck bulked up quite a bit for Batman. It's funny to compare the burgeoning Justice League series to Avengers, where the fourth and fifth leads are Gal with a gun and Guy with an arrow. Of course, it's entirely possible that Momoa's Aquaman will prepare for one scene in the movie. Just one scene. And everybody's making this big hoopla over it.
Really? Okay.
And it's entirely possible that his Aquaman won't have much to do with the comic Aquaman.
He's going to stand there. Or it might be
with a hook and say, grr. No. Anyway. Like Wonder Woman, Aquaman has around a dozen origin stories to choose from. Based on the Man of Steel, they might just junk all those origin stories and throw in something about a genetic codex. Mm-hmm. It's not really clear where Momoa fits into the series. Aquaman was one of the characters who didn't have his own spinoff in that leaked DC Comics Universe schedule, which could imply that he's the Hawkeye.
What?
So, they're just saying, thinking he's Aquaman.
Oh.
So, all we really know is they cast Aquaman for badassery, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's worth remembering that in the mid-90s, DC made an aggressive move to cowboy Aquaman up, giving him a beard, a hooked hand, and a bad attitude. The results weren't pretty. Not every character has to be Batman. Let's hope the filmmakers of Dawn of Justice realize that, and let's hope Momoa's casting didn't come about because everyone thought that Aquaman was lame.
Aquaman is always lame.
I don't think Aquaman is. I think everybody thinks, and the first part of this article talked about that, is that most people think, at our age group, think Aquaman's lame because of
Justice League?
Not Justice League. Cartoon.
The cartoon. Yeah. Like, what if the Super Friends are in Houston?
Yeah, Super Friends.
Super Friends.
The Aquaman was lame on that. And then the younger people think he's lame because all doing the show that was on HBO about the actor Entourage, they were all the way through the show, they were going to film this Aquaman movie. And they just made it sound lame. So everybody thinks Aquaman's. I don't think he's lame. I've always kind of liked Aquaman. He's lame
because, okay, a big robot is attacking Houston, for example. There's no water here.
There's water everywhere around Houston.
Well, yeah, but if you're in Galleria area, there's no water.
Yes, but a majority of the world is surrounded by ocean, so there's plenty of stories that happen out in ocean. So
I'm sure he's going to have a backstory there in Galveston if that's going to happen, right?
You know.
Okay.
But, you know, Aquaman's been one of those characters. They do what, you know, there's enough interest to do something with him, but nobody really wants to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, because there's the Aquaman in Smallville, which they thought was going to do a spinoff, and then they did do a spinoff, but it never went anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So
spun off.
So yeah. So speaking of Game of Thrones,
yes.
If y'all haven't seen the season finale this weekend, then fast forward because we're going to talk about it a little bit.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Is the dog gone?
No, I think so. I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think he's going
to
die.
You don't think the bone sticking out of his leg and him begging Arya to kill him, that you don't think he's going to make it?
I think he's going to make it.
You don't think somebody's going to come find him and miraculously put him back together?
Yep, somebody's going to heal him or something.
Okay.
Who knows? Maybe, what was Bran? Bran? Brain? Bran? The woman knight, but she's not a knight. The one in armor? Yeah.
The lady.
Bran?
Whatever
name. Brienne?
Brienne.
Yeah, she's going to be, I think she's going to come back for him or something, don't you think?
She might.
Because
she...
Where's Arya?
All these other people and the whole series that he's killed and fought, he always mutilated them. And all of a sudden, this chick comes up and she whoops his ass.
I know, right? And there's a Mike Tyson on his ear.
So.
Oh, my God. That was awesome, though. Yeah. That fight was just awesome.
And I just don't understand it. Why does Jon Snow keep getting cuter every episode?
I don't know, because you're just biased. Maybe he's good looking, yeah.
He's good looking, so. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting how they wrap this season up. They get everybody to a stopping point, and there weren't any big cliffhangers, really.
Oh, yeah. Not a cliffhanger.
No, no big cliffhangers this year. So, but speaking of killing your dad on Father's Day.
It's just, what's the term for that? Ironic?
Yeah.
Ironic is the term?
Yeah.
That, you know, dads got killed on Father's Day, so it's really sad. Or not. It's not so sad.
I had no remorse.
You have no remorse either? I have no remorse either. Yeah. I think whoever, the one who killed, the one who did the killing, did everyone a favor.
Yes.
Did everyone a favor.
Yes. And I thought it was interesting that his cohort in crime got on the boat with him.
Oh, really? You think so?
Yes, because I'm trying to figure out if he said, well, I'm done here. I might as well get the hell out while I can.
Mm-hmm.
Or he was just taking an elective leave of absence to see where it was going to go. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's enough on that. Now we got some quick things here about new or returning sci-fi shows that are happening this month. Since the spring season's wound down, the summer season's starting up. So we got Defiance, which is a returning show on sci-fi, and Dominion, which is a spinoff of the movie from a few years ago of Legion.
Oh, really?
Yes. And they both premiered June 19th on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Mm-hmm.
True Blood comes really? Back on the 22nd.
Oh, my God. On HBO. God. Sookie Stackhouse with laser beams.
Yeah. I won't get to see it. I don't have HBO anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The Last Ship, which is a new TV show on TNT about... a battleship that is one of the last ships that's around after this plague hits the earth and they're trying to save everybody. So, returning show, Falling Skies, I think this is a third season, or third season.
Probably a third.
Third, yeah. Comes back on the 22nd as well on TNT. One of my favorite shows coming back June 23rd, Teen Wolf on MTV. Ugh. Styles, I love you. A new show on HBO, you remember the series Left Behind?
This is the same thing.
This is the same thing, sort of called The Leftovers, which I think, thinking about it, it's kind of an odd name for a show.
Yeah, it sounds like a food network.
I know. Show, but what did I do with my leftovers? We're gonna... So, but the previews look good. And I'm hoping somewhere I can find a way to watch this. So anyway, it starts June 29th on HBO. And then returning Under the Dome starts June 30th on CBS. Okay. So all these are coming back.
No, I have one thing to say about Falling Skies, though. We mentioned it's going to be on June 22nd. I do like Falling Skies. I did watch it for a while. And then I still want to watch it. It's just that I need to watch it, I think, at the beginning of the second season.
I have a love-hate relationship. It'll get going good for a while, and then they do something stupid and it pisses me off, and I quit watching it. And then I'll go back and try to pick it up. Like, the end of last season, I didn't even finish watching it. I was so over it.
No.
It's like they got to this climax, and then it just fizzled out for me. So. Yeah.
Anyway, so, okay. So that's our entertainment news, I guess. That's going to be coming soon. It's June. There's so many things we're going to see in June. Awesome. So I hope you guys enjoyed the entertainment part. On with the gay, the geek, and the bizarre. Okay, so do I do the gay?
You're very gay, so do it. You okay. Have pedicures, so you're gay.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so gay is Obama to sign order extending protections to LGBT workers of federal contractors.
So they don't think it's something that somebody can go to therapy and resolve.
No.
Okay.
I think so.
That's just Texas. That's
just only Texas. After years of pressure from gay rights groups, President Barack Obama plans to sign an executive order banning federal contractors from discriminating against employees on the basis of their sexual orientation or gender identity, the White House said Monday. While Obama lacks the authority to extend that protection to all Americans, the order being drafted by the White House would impact about 14 million workers whose employers or states currently do not ban workplace discrimination against gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered individuals. The scope of the measure was tabulated by the Williams Institute at UCLA Law School, which studies sexual orientation and gender identity law and public policy. So the president has resisted signing the order in hopes Congress would pass a broader non-discrimination measure that would apply to nearly all employers, which is good, right? While the Senate passed the legislation last year, the measure has languished in the Republican-led House, and there is a little sign that lawmakers will take it up in the election year. So the Republican-led House is delaying things, I guess. Mm-hmm.
But I think Obama can sign something into law without all of them. I don't forget how it works. That was a long time ago. I took how government works. Took government.
Weren't you a page before?
Yes.
You used to be in the White House?
No, I was in the Senate.
You're in the Senate. Okay.
Yes, back when it was very Republican.
Really? You were very Republican back then?
Well, I'm from South Carolina.
Oh, that's right. You're very Republican.
Our governor is doing gay hate right now, so...
Oh.
From South Carolina, so.
So you were a Republican from shoulder to head, and yes. But you're totally
gay blood, gay Democrat blood.
So. Okay, so what can I say? Thanks, Obama. Yes, I mean, it's great news. I mean, at least there's going to
be it would align other policies that they put out, like getting rid of "Don't Ask, Don't Tell" and let people serve openly gay in the military. This would comply with those that, all right, if we're going to let it happen in the military, we got to let it happen everywhere that we have stuff with as a business. So
yeah. The point is, he only plans to sign. Why wouldn't he just sign it? I mean it'll take time. I mean, he needs to make it, you know.
Well, they got to float out there and see what the shit's
going to be fan. Yeah, float it around a little bit.
Yeah, it's politics, man. It's all politics.
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
No. So, okay.
Until it's signed into order, it ain't nothing but talk. Which it's a lot of hot air. Yeah, which happens a lot in D.C. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. On to the geek. Google Fit to curate steps, calories, heart rate, and other biometric data. Speaking of biometric data, Google is planning to release a new product called Google Fit that will aggregate health data from various devices and apps, according to a report Tuesday from Forbes. Fit will use available APIs to pull biometric information together into one place, but it's unclear whether it will be a standalone app or part of the Android OS. Reports of Fit come on the heels of Apple's announcement of HealthKit and iOS 8, a system that also interacts with apps and APIs to curate the present health data like steps walked, calories consumed, heart rates logged. Fit also allows the announcement of Sammy. Samsung's health platform for culling health-related info. Fit is a distant spiritual successor to Google Health, a short-lived medical record management service that Google shuttered at the start of 2012. Google Health required that participants volunteer their medical info into the service, which was not covered by the HIPAA privacy regulation government medical records.
It's not HIPAA compliant.
It wasn't HIPAA compliant, so anybody could get your information. Apple's HealthKit was designed to be able to reshare information stored there with other apps or healthcare professionals. Forbes made no mention whether Google Fit is just for making biometric data more manageable or for repurposing that info into what HealthKit does.
It's going to go to the cloud.
So Forbes states that Google will unveil Fit at its I.O. conference, which starts June 25th. After its announcement, Fit may figure into I.O. developer sessions about wearables, Android, and the cloud. As always, we will be at Google I.O. to bring you all the big news. So,
you know, this is the precursor of the tricorder, right? It's going to be it's just on your phone.
Well, this is kind of funny because today I went and got – I have about a quarter-sized little piece of plastic stuck in me on the side here and taped down so it can matter. So it can monitor my blood sugar levels. And I have to keep track of everything I eat, take my blood sugar with my regular – pricking my thumb and doing the whole glucose thing four times a day until Friday.
Okay.
So
do you think, is that Bluetooth? What is it? How does it work?
I don't think so. I think it's just got a little memory chip in it, and it's just a small monitor, and it goes.
There's an SD card.
Because I think she said it checks every 5 minutes, mm-hmm. So it can see where ups and downs go, so they can tell me, so they'll go in and say, okay, you're doing something wrong here, you're doing something wrong there, you know, you should eat more at this time and not, so you can...
You should be logging what you ate at that moment, because I'm sure that
memory. Well, I do. I mean, I have this whole sheet that I fill out.
Okay.
That every time I have to take my blood sugar four times a day through my regular monitor. That way they can match it up to what this is saying to make sure everything's is showing right. And then I have to log what I'm eating at every meal.
So now what we ate, like we had barbecue this evening.
Well, I had a pork sandwich, pulled pork sandwich with a little sauce and some French fries.
So do you think it's going to be your sugar?
So I'm sure my sugar went up a little bit, yeah, because of the carbs from the bread and the sugar and sauce and the carbs in the French fries. But this morning I had breakfast tacos from Taco Cabana, which is bacon and egg. So that was a little carby. And then lunch I had a salad. So I think
you're kind of compensating.
So I think it all over, I didn't go crazy on anything. So
okay, that's good, I guess. Wow, you're going to health nut right now. You know what really helps? You might want to do some running or walking.
I'll do walking. Well, so that's one of the problems. I've been trying to walk and do stuff, but I've been having problems with my legs and feet hurting really bad.
Because it lands.
Huh?
Because you land on your feet or something like that?
Well, no, I think it's more just because the diabetes and my legs hurt, because that affects your legs and stuff too. So,
okay.
And I probably need to go see a podiatrist, but I just can't afford any more doctor bills right now.
Okay. So.
The potatoes.
All right. So, yeah, Fit. Google Fit. Yeah. We'll see what happens. June 25th in I.O. We'll see what happens. I don't know. It's still something that is on your phone, right? I'm not sure. But
yeah,
we'll see. Okay. Let's go to Bizarre. I think the Bears would love this. Don't you think?
Well, the whole question is, why are these Bears having oral sex?
Yes. Because the title is... Why are these bears having oral sex? We're talking about the real kind of bears, okay? So it's not that oral sex has never been seen in bears, right? Researchers and zookeepers have observed it in several captive bears, but those bears were living in substandard conditions with inadequate mental stimulation. It's possible... What are you saying?
That's like that study that comes out that people watch porn degrade their brain faster.
Oh, really?
I got to bring that in as an article because that was last week and we had a bunch of other stuff. So. Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that in those cases, it was a marker of stress rather than pleasure. See, if you need to do it, you need to rub it, then you have to rub it, right?
That's right.
But now researchers report the first observations of long-term recurrent fellatio in captive brown bears kept in proper conditions in the journal Zoo Biology. Over 116 hours, they've been looking at the bears do fellatio. So over 116 hours of observations were conducted over the course of 6 years. by a group of researchers led by Agnieszka Sergiel of the Polish Academy of Sciences Department of Wildlife Conservation, they recorded 28 instances of oral sex between the two bears. Both male, who lived together in a sanctuary in Croatia. They write, all cases appear to be initiated by the provider, who approached the receiver. I like the terms here. The provider and the receiver, it's a top and a bottom. Yeah, so who are you gonna be like?
That's the Polish term.
That's the Polish term for that. Are you a provider or a receiver? All cases appeared to be initiated by the provider, who approached the receiver while he was resting on his side or with part of his abdomen exposed. If the receiver's genitals were not exposed, the provider would push his head into the pelvic region or use his paws to separate the hind legs. After accessing an initial licking of the penis, the provider would find a more comfortable posture, such as sitting or lying. Once actual sucking started, neither bear changed positions. Wow, they like it really. They're vanilla. They're kind of vanilla, aren't they? Each interaction lasted between 1 and 4 minutes. Wow! They're doing quickies. Oh, my God. And there are 28 times they did this.
Now, my question is, so if you take two guys and lock them up together.
Regardless of their orientation.
Eventually somebody's going to give it up. And I refer to prison.
Oh, prison? Really? So. Well, I guess that would happen, right? I mean, they got to do something, right? So it is. Do you think, are you saying in prison it's expected?
Well, I don't know. I think it's one of those things, you know, you're locked up, you have nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're a very controlled environment. And, you know, if people, as much as people joke about it, there's got to be some truth to it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. If people are joking about it a lot, probably there is truth.
I mean, have you not seen Orange is the New Black? There are lesbians everywhere.
Which reminds me, I'm trying to watch it. I was just starting the Orange is the New Black first episode this past weekend. Trying to get into it, so we'll see. Yeah. Is it really good?
Oh, I'm like addicted to it, kind of.
Really?
Yes, I'm already on like episode 5 or 6.
Kate Mulgrew.
Yes. Red, we love her.
Red, what's her character like?
She's this Russian chick where this season you find out a lot.
She's more a lesbian about, too?
No, I don't think so. She's been locked up before. And season 2 is more about the back history of most of the inmates that you see that's going on in the story. So you see stuff from her from when she was younger,
mm-hmm.
when she first got put into prison. And now she's older and she's hanging out with the old chicks in the prison and running her little operation she's got going. So it's interesting. But she plays this Russian.
She has the accent?
She has the accent.
I can't imagine her with an accent.
So.
I always look at Kate Mulgrew as Captain Janeway.
I know.
Always. Whenever I see her, it's always Captain Janeway of the Starship Enterprise. Starship Voyager. So. Okay, so. Sorry for geeking out, but yes. There are bears who like oral sex.
Oh, if any of y'all, I think it is either Portugal or Spain, the national dance company there in protest, but to raise money. And I saw part of the video this morning and I didn't get to copy it because I was sitting in the doctor's office. But the male dancers have done a dance review completely naked to raise awareness of arts in the country because the arts funding is so... There's so little arts funding that they can't even do performances. So they did this video of all them naked and dancing, and you get to see a preview of it, and they show dick. And then you can go to a pay-per-view site to actually watch the full-length video. Uh-huh. And that's how they're raising money for the arts.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody knows anything more about this or has contacts there so we can talk to them, I think it'd be interesting to talk about.
Yeah. It's art. Why? Because the penis is not erect. And it's during a dance. So it's art.
I guess so.
And it's not...
But it's European guys, and they're all usually hot and well endowed. So, you know.
Oh, okay. You can't tell. So, okay. All right. So
it's art to me.
That's art enough for me. Okay.
It's art enough for me.
Okay, so that's it. So we do some shout outs here. Thank you again, Gary and Andrew. Thank you, Gary, for lending us Andrew for the show.
Yes, thank you for lending us Andrew.
And yeah, Gary would have been in the show if he wasn't in Hawaii.
But he's in Hawaii.
We were thinking of doing a Skype, but it's the time interval, you know.
It's what, like 11 over there now?
Possibly. I don't. I forget. I forget the.
I think it's like 6 hour difference, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
6 hour difference.
So logistics is really hard. So maybe next time. Maybe next time. We'll have Gary talk about Hawaii.
But I'm sure he can pull himself off the beach sipping his little cocktail.
I'm sure he's working at the beach.
Right.
Waikiki.
Yeah.
Having a cocktail. Well, he's on his laptop. I've seen his
post on Facebook. I know what he's up to.
Okay. So any shout outs on your side? No?
Shout out to Daddy-O. You know, thanks for being there for us.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father Day to my father. I talked to him. All he had to do is bitch about it. He's got shingles, so I feel, that's pretty rough, so I feel sorry for him. But I'll see them all next week, so I'm going home to South Carolina.
So I was talking to Scrumbear about, calling dads on Father's Day. So I asked him, are you going to call your dad on Father's Day? He said, no. Yes! That's a stupid question. Why are you not going to call your dad? So he did a survey and everything that, he's going to be, that, it's a stupid question to ask.
You know? Yeah. Well, but, no, I mean, some people have issues with it. I mean, I have issues with my father, but I still call him on Father's Day.
Yeah.
Good for you, but usually.
Well, in my case, I kind of made him feel bad. Well, I was just trying to be, to feel him bad because I wish
been
I could.
An ass, Maynard?
I wish I could call my dad. Yeah, my dad died in 98, so no, he felt bad. he was picking fun on me. But yeah, but you're okay. You're a cool Scrum Bear.
Yeah.
Okay, so, that's it. That's it. For the show, if you want to, anything else?
If you want to leave us a voicemail so we can play it on the show, make a comment, tell us some news, please call us at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. Call us. Leave us a voice message. Tell us what's going on in your neck of the woods. Tell us what you think about some of the articles,
Yep. Mm-hmm. And also, if you want to email us, you can email us at show@bearpodcast.com. And, subscribe via iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube. You can also listen to the show on Stitcher Radio, Bear Radio Network, and the Roku Player. You can also watch the videos there. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many woofs and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear.
Obama extending protection to LGBT workers.
I want to do this again. Aquaman in Batman versus Superman movie.
Above. I keep wanting to laugh when you say Aquaman and Batman.
Aquaman.
Like Aquaman sliding it into Batman. I know Ben Affleck might take it up the bum,
but with
Jason Momoa probably got a big dick, and he'd probably like it. Maynard, do you know what bears say when they're having gay sex, when they're giving oral sex to each other?
What?
Grr.
Grr. Grr.
Call the fire, see it, they can't stop.